Last week, we heard a story of James and John. For those of you who were at church or who have maybe listened to the sermon online, we heard the story of James and John, who were two of the disciples that had been with Jesus the longest. This story is in Mark 10, right before what I just read about the blind man who was just healed. There was this day that James and John approached Jesus with a favor on their mind, and Jesus asked them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" That was the story that we looked at last week. And I wonder if you remember what they said. Maybe you weren't there last week, but you're familiar with the story. Jesus said, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they asked Jesus to promise that they'd get to sit in positions of honor, one at his left and one at his right. They wanted prestige. They wanted power. Today's story is so very different from that, isn't it? Here today, we have this blind beggar who hasn't met Jesus before, but he's clearly heard all about Jesus. When he finally gets Jesus' attention, Jesus asks him the exact same question that he had asked James and John. "What do you want me to do for you?" I have to tell you, though, that is the only similarity between these stories. Because where James and John were looking for power, the blind beggar was looking for healing. Where James and John were convinced of their own greatness, this blind beggar, he only knew his deep need. Now, I can understand why Jesus asked James and John what they wanted. But doesn't it seem weird that Jesus asked the blind beggar what he wanted? I mean, wasn't it obvious? Here was a man relegated to the margins. He sat outside the city, at the edge of the road, in the dark, day in and day out, begging for people's scraps just to survive. He was alone, and he would remain that way until the day he died, likely well before his time. Surely it was obvious that what he wanted to do, Jesus to do, was to make him see. Do you remember the story of the rich man who asked Jesus what he had to do to inherit eternal life? We read that one the week before last. It's also in Mark 10. And do you remember the impossible thing that Jesus required of him? The man was a good man. He faithfully followed the commandments. He genuinely wanted to be holy and righteous. But this is what Jesus said to him. "You lack one thing," Jesus said. "Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor." Do you remember that man's reaction? He was shocked and saddened. He couldn't do it. So that man walked away. What he wanted was assurance of his own eternal security, but it turned out that for him, the price was too high, so he walked away. How different he was from today's blind beggar, a man named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had nothing of worth to his name. The only thing he had was a cloak. But the moment that Jesus invited him to come, he threw off his cloak and he went to Jesus without hesitation. I wonder what Jesus saw when he looked at that rich man. Others likely only saw his wealth, his possessions. Maybe they saw his good deeds, his faithfulness to God's commandments. But Jesus sees deeper than other people. Jesus saw the need in the rich man. He saw the need for freedom from those possessions, from all that wealth. I think Jesus asked the blind beggar what he wanted Jesus to do because the answer wasn't as obvious as we might think it would be. Just like Jesus saw the rich man in a way that other people maybe didn't, I think he saw Bartimaeus in a way that we might not see him. When we look at Bartimaeus, we see his blindness and we see a beggar, the poorest of the poor, destitute. That's how he's described right off the top in this story. But what did Jesus see when he looked at Bartimaeus? There's a story earlier in Mark's gospel in chapter 2 in which four men are trying to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus. This is a favorite Sunday school story, so it might ring some bells in your memory. But the crowd around Jesus was so packed that these four friends couldn't get through. So, much to the chagrin of the homeowner, I'm sure, they climb up onto the roof of the place where Jesus is, they dig a hole through the roof, and they lower their paralyzed friend down to Jesus. Now remember, the man who's now lying before Jesus is paralyzed. He's laying on the ground because he can't sit or stand or walk. It's obvious what he needs. But do you know what Jesus does in that situation? I'll give you a hint. He doesn't heal the man's paralysis, at least not right away. What Jesus does instead is say to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Are you kidding, Jesus? Do you really think that's what the man wanted? Maybe you should have asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I mean, forgiveness of sins is great. There's incredible freedom in knowing you don't have to carry the weight of all that's wrong, all the shame and guilt that come from being imperfect humans who fail repeatedly and chronically to live up to God's hope for us. But in this scenario, is that really what the man was looking for in that moment? It feels like what he was looking for was as obvious as what Bartimaeus was looking for. Now, the reality, there's no way for us to know what the man was looking for. The man himself, in the paralyzed man himself, is completely passive character in this story. He's the illustration. He's the teaching moment. But I bring him up right now to illustrate that it's possible that there may have also been other things on the blind beggar's mind besides his own blindness. Maybe Jesus asked him what he wanted him to do because Jesus saw the man completely. He didn't just see the man's blindness or his poverty. Maybe in the asking itself, Jesus was giving Bartimaeus something he needed even more than his sight. Maybe Jesus saw that Bartimaeus needed to be seen, to be acknowledged, to be treated like a person who could speak for himself. I love that about Jesus. I mean, how often are any of us really truly seen beyond our most glaring flaws or our most obvious traits, be they good or bad? How often do we in turn assume that we know what's needed when someone who's presenting needs are as obvious as I'm sure the blind beggar's needs were? Jesus didn't just see the blind eyes. He didn't just see the tattered clothes, the unwashed skin, the hungry belly. Jesus saw the whole man. And Jesus treated the man with dignity and respect when he asked him what he wanted Jesus to do for him. I had to pause there when I was thinking this through. Can you imagine what our city would be like if we treated people the way Jesus treated this man? If instead of assuming we know what the needs are, assuming we know what's wrong, we gave people the dignity and the respect of asking them what they need. So Jesus asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately the man regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. This blind beggar, relegated to the margins of society, shoved aside by everyone, invisible, is now a disciple. He has joined the ranks of the likes of James and John. He does what the rich man couldn't do. He follows Jesus to Jerusalem. Now, we don't hear of him again in the Gospels, but I imagine that he was there with the crowds when they waved their palm branches and sang Hosanna to Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt. I imagine he was hovering somewhere on the edges of the temple when Jesus flipped the tables and set the status quo spinning. I imagine that he listened and learned from the parables that Jesus taught and the questions that people asked. I imagine he was close by when Jesus was tried, convicted, and crucified. I imagine he was among the first to gather with other disciples in one of the earliest churches. I titled this sermon today, "Exemplar of Discipleship, a Blind Beggar." But I didn't give it that title because of what I imagined Bartimaeus's life became after Jesus healed him. I named him an exemplar of discipleship because of what we know about him from before Jesus healed him, from the short story about him that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include in their gospels. To start with, Bartimaeus knew that he needed Jesus' help. Now, that may sound super obvious and basic to us. His need is the whole context of the story, after all, but it's too important a point to skip over. One of the most essential things that makes Bartimaeus an exemplar of discipleship is that he knew he needed Jesus' help. His need was immediate. It was raw, desperate. His need was more important than anything else. His need was such that even the stern response of the crowd, the attempts of his betters to silence him, could not dissuade him from calling out to Jesus. His need for Jesus was so pressing that he was willing to risk everything. At the same time, he called out to Jesus, persistently ignoring the crowd's demand for his silence. He also knew Jesus didn't owe him a thing. Listen to his words, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Mercy. It's the ask of someone with nothing to offer in return. It's the ask of someone who has no leverage, nothing with which to barter. Not only does Bartimaeus know he needs Jesus' help, he also knows that he brings nothing to the table. He is completely dependent on Jesus' generosity and grace. I can't help but wonder how we compare to Bartimaeus. I wonder if we are as aware of our need for Jesus as Bartimaeus was for his. Do we grasp our poverty, our absolute dependence on Jesus' generosity and grace? Or have we become so comfortable in our relationship with Jesus that we've begun to presume, like James and John presumed? Have we, like James and John, begun to forget the depth of our own poverty and need without Jesus? Would any of us risk the wrath of the crowd just to get to Jesus? Would we keep shouting, clamoring to be heard? Or would we be more like the rich man who walked away when it became too hard? If being a follower of Jesus cost you your job, what would you do? If being a Christian cost you your freedom, would you still be a Christian? If discipleship required you to carry a literal cross, if it required your own crucifixion or execution, would you stick with Jesus or would you walk away? I think that the only way that we stick with Jesus when things get hard is if we are as aware of our need for Jesus as Bartimaeus was of his. I wonder, has your sense of your need for Jesus dulled over the years? Maybe this week you can find space to sit with that question and invite Jesus into it. How aware are you of your need for Jesus these days? Not only did Bartimaeus know he needed Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. When he called out to Jesus, he called him Son of David. That is a title that is strictly reserved for the Messiah, the one promised from ancient times who would establish God's eternal kingdom. Jesus' disciples aren't just following a good man or a teacher. They're following the Son of David, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one who establishes and sits enthroned over God's eternal kingdom. And when that Son of David invited him to come, Bartimaeus literally leapt to his feet. He didn't wait for Jesus to come to him. He didn't go, "Oh, I'm blind. Come, you'll have to come to me." He leapt to his feet and he made his way to Jesus. He didn't let the blindness, he didn't let his poverty get in the way. When Jesus called, Bartimaeus went. He didn't ask questions. He didn't fold up his cloak and tuck it under his arm. He just went immediately. The same raw desperation behind his persistent call for mercy fueled his response to Jesus' invitation. And when Jesus then asked what he wanted, Bartimaeus didn't waste words. He didn't dance around the request. He didn't worry about being polite or appropriate. He straight up asked for what he wanted, for what he needed. "My teacher," he said, "let me see again." Disciples of Jesus know Jesus' compassion, grace, and goodness. And they live in that knowing. They ask boldly for what they need because they are secure in Jesus' love for them. How secure are we in Jesus' love for us? How convinced are we of Jesus' compassion, of his grace, of his goodness? Would we also leap up at Jesus' call, or would we be a little bit more reticent? Would we hold back? When Jesus granted Bartimaeus' request, he said this, "Go, your faith has made you well." Now, there are perhaps no more difficult words for us than these. These words have been used and abused by countless people over the years. "Your faith has made you well." These words have been interpreted to mean that if we can just get enough faith, we too will be healed. Now, the flip side of that, of course, is that if we don't have enough faith, we won't be healed. All of which implies that we heal ourselves because faith is a kind of magic spell that makes Jesus do what we want. How many people have walked away completely because of the guilt they felt or that it's been put upon them? Oh, you weren't healed because you didn't have enough faith. If only you had more faith, then of course you'd be healed. But that way of thinking is so far from who Jesus is and who we are that it can't possibly be what Jesus meant when he said it. So then if Jesus isn't saying that Bartimaeus somehow believed his way into wellness, what is he saying? I think that the faith that Jesus is referring to is everything else in this story. It's Bartimaeus's unrelenting conviction that Jesus can and will rescue him from his need. It's his persistence, his refusal to allow anything to stand between him and Jesus. It's the honesty with which he owns his need, not even trying, as if he could, to mask it or hide it or make it less ugly. There is no question that it is Jesus who heals. There is no suggestion or hint that Bartimaeus made Jesus heal him. But it was faith and some measure of desperation that led Bartimaeus to call out to Jesus in the first place, to leap to his feet and go to Jesus when he called, and to answer Jesus with raw honesty when Jesus asked what he wanted. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We see that once the blind beggar doesn't, that the once blind beggar doesn't just return to ordinary life. When he's healed, he doesn't go back to town, wash up, find a job, reconnect with friends and family from before he was blind. That's not what this exemplar of discipleship does. Instead, he follows Jesus on the way. The way being a euphemism in Mark's gospel for Jesus' entire journey through crucifixion and resurrection. This man followed Jesus into Jerusalem and toward the cross. He didn't just take what Jesus offered and then get on with his life. He took what Jesus offered, and in return, he gave his whole self, his whole life back to Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. We know our need. We know who Jesus is. We give everything that we are back to Jesus. That blind beggar truly is an exemplar of discipleship. The question before us today is, what about us? Many of us call ourselves disciples of Jesus. Do we exemplify what that means like Bartimaeus exemplified it?